Well, take your Bible and look at the book of Ruth. We'll finish chapter number 2, and then we'll begin chapter number 3. It's good to see you. If you're visiting with us tonight, we've been in the book of Ruth on Sunday nights. Of course, last Sunday night was a little different. We had our Christmas program there, and we'll try to have those copied this week, and several of you have asked about them. And let's look at the book of Ruth. Ruth, I know a lot of you ladies, you like to read these love stories. And a lot of that stuff that you buy, some of those books, love stories at Walmart or whatever, probably is not fitting to read. Probably. I don't know. I don't read them. But here in the book of Ruth is a love story. If you want to read and read a love story that you won't have any trouble your kid reading, if you want to read a beautiful love story that you wouldn't mind any age child to read, you can read the book of Ruth. And it'll tell you one of the most beautiful pictures of the love and redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you have here is a Jewish family. Elimelech is the father. Naomi is the mama. She had two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And they were together, and they decided to leave Bethlehem. They leave Bethlehem, and they go off to a place called Moab. Now, that would be like you moving from a godly town and moving off to a place like Sodom and Gomorrah and trying to raise a family there and stay right with God. And so they went off to Moab, and the judgment of God hit them, and her husband, Elimelech, died. Mahlon died. Chilion died. And before they died, they married two Moabite girls down here. Their names were Ruth and Orpah. And Orpah stayed back, but Ruth came back to Bethlehem with Naomi, her mother-in-law. Now, if you want to live with your mother-in-law, that's a good relationship if you've got that kind of relationship, and you want to move in with her and live with her. Boy, I'm telling you, that's a miracle within itself. Hallelujah. Now, I don't talk about mother-in-laws. My wife's got a good mother-in-law. And but anyway, that's a slow-moving train. It'll come on back around some of there. Some of you get that left a while. But here you have a story of Naomi and Ruth, her daughter-in-law, have moved back to this place of Bethlehem. And when they move back, Ruth catches the eye of a Jewish guy by the name of Boaz, and he's out there on his John Deere tractor, and he's riding out there plowing the field, and boy, he looks over there, and this Moabite, you could tell she was out of place. You could tell she was from another city or another country. Her speech probably was a little different than all the rest of the Jews, and she was a Gentile, and she probably didn't comb her hair like everybody else. She probably didn't dress like everybody else, and she probably didn't speak like everybody else, but it caught Boaz's eyes. And he looked, he said, "Hey, who is that?" And he found out, you know, got her phone number, and they started talking back and forth and developing a relationship and fellowship one with another. Now, we found out in chapter number 2 where we left off. Where we left off in chapter number 2, Boaz was telling his workers, his men workers, said, "You watch after her. And as you go, as you glean in this field, as you plow this field, just drop stalks of wheat. Just drop it on down." And they calls it handfuls of purpose. I call it handfuls on purpose. Because they dropped it on purpose. And Ruth, now let me explain this. I know you was probably here a couple Sunday nights ago, and you probably know this already, but let me explain it to you. The welfare system in the Bible's day, and especially in the book of Ruth, they had a field, and they would, when they go around that field, they'd cut the corners off. And they'd cut those corners, they'd go down, they'd cut that corner off. And the welfare system in the book of Ruth was, if you were poor, if you were widowed, if you were needy, and the widows and the orphans, they would come to a field like that, bunch of fields out there, and they would pick a field, and they would come to that corner, and they would pick that up for themselves and take it home. That was the welfare system. If you wanted it, it's workfare. You come get it. We're not taking it to your house. We're not bringing it to you. You come get it if you want it. And so that was the way it was. And so Ruth's out there. But not only is she picking for herself, but as she's going, she's like, they dropped this. Well, that's already been picked. A lot of the work's been done for me. So she founds, as she has gone through there, she has found favor with the owner of that field. His name is Boaz, and he's found grace, and he's putting grace in her path. And I'm going to tell you, a person that is a nobody, a person that is an outcast, a person that is from Moab into a country where she does not belong, and she finds grace in the eyes of the Lord and the eyes of Boaz, and he puts, hey, that's salvation right there. That's what happened to you. You were a nobody. You were a nothing. You were a place of Moab. You were a place of nowhere, out of place. And God dispensed his grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved an old wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Ruth could have wrote that story very vividly. Now, look here in verse number, look at verse number 12 of chapter 2. Let me finish this up real quick. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. Even though I'm not like the rest of the girls around here, you looked my way. Even though you were out of place, even though you were a sinner, even though you were outcast, God still looked your way.
Amen.
Boaz said unto her, you're going to love. If you hadn't shouted all day, I know there wasn't a lot of shouting on the morning message this morning. Hallelujah. Wasn't a lot of shouting. But if you can't shout right here, verse 14, and Boaz said unto her, Ruth, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Listen, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ came to where you were. He saved your soul. He found grace, or you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He dispensed that grace upon you. He died for you. He loved you. And one of these days, if you don't know this yet or not, one of these days, we're going to his table and sit down with the rest of everybody and eat where he eats, eat the food that he eats, with the people he hangs out with. We're going to eat an outcast. Nobody want him around. And I'm going to eat at the very table spread where the saints of God are fed, and he invites his chosen people to come and dine. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching a little bit now. I'm just sort of, hallelujah. Man, that Ritalin helped me. Verse 15, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her.
Amen.
Yeah. He told his workers, he said, you see that girl right over there? Yeah, we was wondering why she was eating supper with us. She's supposed to be out there eating under the tree out there with everybody else. What's she ready? No, Boaz says, You see that girl right there? When she starts gleaning on the corners and she bleeds over into the field, don't you back her up. Let her glean where she wants to. If you're not enjoying that, if you can't see grace in there, I don't know if you'll ever see it. And then verse 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not.
Amen.
In other words, he said, you get on to everybody else. Just don't get on to her. I mean, look, if she gets out of that corner and she bleeds over into the field, you leave her alone. Matter of fact, throw some down there for her so she doesn't even have to work for it. She just picks it up, throws it over her shoulder. And don't, now if somebody else does it and somebody else follows, don't, you tell them, get back. Get back. Right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But you let her glean where she wants to. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved in this room tonight, you can glean wherever you want to. Yeah. You can just open her up anywhere you want to open her up, and you can glean wherever you want. He'll let you go into the big field, the little field, the corners, the middle, the sides, the top, the bottom. Right. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. Then verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephod of barley. Now, what they'd do, they'd take that, let me tell you what they'd do, Jewish custom, they'd take that, where it was wheat, probably it was wheat, and they'd take that, cut the stalks, and they'd have that wheat there, and they'd take it to the threshing floor, and they'd put it on the ground, and they'd beat it out. That wheat's got an outer hull on it, and you got to beat that off, you know that outer hull? You sort of got to beat that off. You can't get down to the... You can't make a loaf of bread with the hull still on it. Some of you need to get your outer flesh and just... I'm thinking about missing church. No, you're not. Well, I think I'm just going to quit church. No, you're not. Hush. And then what they'd do, they'd beat that hole off, and then they'd take it and put it in a sheet on a windy day. They'd take it on top of the hill, and they would four persons would take that and throw it up in the air. And that wind would blow those holes out. And that wheat weighed more, and it'd fall down in the sheet. So they'd do that several times. That wind would blow. Well, they'd throw, and it blows all the trash out. And the wheat fall down in the sheet. And when they got done, they folded the sheet up, throw it over shoulder, went home, started making bread, whatever, where we'll make. And so this is what she was doing. She was beating it out. When they say beating it out, she took home an ephod of barley. All right, hang on. This is Sunday night. Stay with me. Ephod of barley. That's a bushel and 3 pints. A bushel and 3 pints. Now, don't... Just hang on. Mark that down. Make a middle note in your mind right there. Ephod. She's out there working. She's out there gleaning in the field. And she brings home an ephod and a pint, or 3 pints, of barley. That's, for her and Naomi, that's 5 days worth of food in one day. Don't you know the rest of them wouldn't bring it home at? And they're like, this woman got 5 days of food on one day of work. Somebody likes this old guy. I mean, I don't know. Hey, folks, how many times have you looked around and said, man, I don't know how I made it through that. Somebody must love me. I don't know how I made it through that. I don't know where all that come from. At the end of the month, I got more bills, I got money, but it looks like everybody's paid. I don't know how it happened, but thank the Lord somebody loves me. Well, I'm telling you, the grace of God. Well, now, I know we didn't finish chapter number 2, but now look at chapter number 3. Well, I just about can't do that. Look at the end of verse 19, chapter 2. The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi, she came home, Ruth came home with 5 days worth of food. And Naomi's like, where you been? Did you rob Walmart or what? And she's like, no, I was gleaning in Boaz's field. Boaz. Let me get my family Bible out. Amen. Wait, Boaz. Hey, that's right here in my family Bible right here. It says we're kin to him. I mean, that's my husband's something other. Look at verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, whom hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Well, now listen, I got to explain this before I can go any further. I got a lot of ground to cover, but hang on. When a woman was left widowless, or widow, and Naomi's left widow, Ruth is left widow, they lose all of their inheritance. Unless they can find somebody that is near kin. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 25 and the book of Leviticus. Can't remember the chapter. Deuteronomy 25 says if thy brother be dead, one of the kin would come and marry and redeem and buy back.
Yeah.
And would buy back everything and restore it unto them. Hallelujah. Well, Naomi says, hey, man, look, we ain't got nothing. Ruth, we ain't got nothing. Both our husbands are dead. And you've been gleaning in Boaz's field. I checked my family Bible on the coffee table. We're kin to him. Through my dead husband. I tell you what you need to do, Ruth. Let me tell you what you need to do. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now that rest, let me give you the outline of the book of Ruth. In chapter number 1, you find Ruth returning. Chapter number 2, you find Ruth reaping. But then in chapter 3, you find Ruth resting. You say, what about this rest that Naomi's trying to find for Ruth? It is the rest that comes with resting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It refers to one day when we rest. God created the earth, heaven and earth, 6 days. On the seventh day, He rested. Well, one of these days in the millennial reign, we are going to rest. Who are we going to rest with? We're going to rest with the one that redeemed us and bought us back. Well, Naomi says, hey, Ruth, let me tell you, look, we're going to try to find you some rest. It wasn't that Ruth was tired. That ain't the rest we're talking about. We're going to have to find you a redeemer, Ruth, where you can rest. Hallelujah. Y'all get it in a minute. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 3. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he wineth barley tonight in the threshing floor. All right, so Naomi says, hey, Ruth, now Boaz is going to be at the threshing floor tonight, because when they pick all day long, if they can't get it in the barn, they stay out there on the threshing floor. So I know where he's going to be. So I'm going to tell you what you need to do, Ruth. Look, verse 3, wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he hath done eating and drinking. Watch this. Naomi said, hey, Ruth, go take a bath. Put some of that smell good on. Hey, men, we might as well shout. Hey, I'm telling you. Thank the Lord for a bath and some perfume. Hallelujah. And a full set of teeth. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. So Naomi said, hey, you go take a bath, wash up, put some of that cologne on, and take off. Now, let me get this right here. Ruth wore certain clothes because she was a widow. So when she'd go into town, people would look at her and say, oh, she's a widow. All right, when you got over being widowed and you were ready to marry and look for another, which is okay, you do. Her husband's dead. So it's okay to marry. When you get over that, Naomi says, you don't put on them mourning clothes of being a widow. You put on clothes like you looking for a husband. Come on now, help me. Go take a bath, put on some smell good, and I'm talking about put on your walking dress. Now, I'm telling you. And you go down there to where he's going to be. I know where he hangs out. It's where he's going to be tonight. Now, listen, do y'all not see? This is a beautiful love story. Beautiful. And then, look here, verse number 4. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Now watch. Now, let me stop. Some of the Bible critics. Let me pause right here. I'm looking around. We got some children in the sanctuary, and that's fine. We're going to be real careful right here. But some of our Bible critics say something immoral happened right here. Nothing immoral happened right here. Nothing. This is Jewish custom. And I'm fixing to explain the Jewish custom. I'm going to tell you, nothing immoral happened. She went in, she washed up like her mother-in-law told her, she put on the clothes, smelled good, all that kind of stuff, and she went in to the threshing floor where the man was. It's a custom, uncover the feet. We'll get into that in a minute. Now watch. Look at verse number 7. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, he did not get drunk. That's another one of the things. They said, oh, he got drunk. No, no, no. He did not get drunk. And his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. All right? This is Jewish custom. So, let's see. This is found over in 1 Samuel. Because this is what they did. When they picked, they'd heap that corn up. And then the guy would sleep there that night. Why? Because he didn't want no thieves to rob his corn. So he slept there. And so Naomi said, now don't go in there until he gets bedded down, gets in sleep. And he got his belly full, and you know, he's sitting there and he's resting. And so he's watching after everything. And you sort of slide in there and uncover his feet. Jewish custom. Nothing immoral. Now watch. The end of verse 7. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself and said, behold, a woman lay at my feet. At his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I'm Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now, hang on. Thy skirt. What's a man doing with a skirt on? Let me explain. Ricky and Lucy. How many of y'all watch Ricky and Lucy? Still in black and white. It's good to watch. All right. Ruth comes in. Says, you're one of our near kinsmen. If you would, spread thy skirt, therefore thy skirt, over thy handmaid. All right. You remember? And I got it in my office, and I should have brought it up here. I meant to. Remember, I did that prayer shawl, had the prayer shawl. And when it was Jewish, Boaz is a Jew, so he got a prayer shawl. And there were little tassels there. It tells what his name is, his heritage, where he come from, who his mom and daddy were, and all that kind of stuff. His Jewish heritage. When they prayed, they put that over their head, and they'd pray. They still do it today. The Wailing Wall, do it the same. And they get done. When they lay down, they take that prayer shawl, and they cover themselves. You know, just like you'd pull over a shawl or something when you lay down on the couch or something, just pull something over you. You know, just keep the air off of you. She lays down, uncovers his feet, lays down right there. He wakes up, says, what in the world? Who is this? She said, I'm Ruth, you know, the one you've been liking, the one we've been talking on the phone. He's like, oh, yeah. And Ruth said, if you would, you're one of our next kinsmen. If you would, now y'all go, hallelujah, I'm getting blessed already. Said, if you would, if you'd take your skirt and throw it over top of me. A Gentile girl and a Jew takes his prayer shawl and puts a Gentile girl under Jewish protection. Lord, help me. Whew. I almost jumped off this stage. A Gentile girl says, "You one of our next of kin. Take your skirt, your what they called the wings. Take your wings and spread over me and put me under the Jewish protection." You say, "Preacher, I ain't. Hang on. Turn to Psalm 91, see if I ain't telling the truth. Some of you are still disturbed about that statement I made, put all your chips on the table this morning. But don't let that bother you. Psalm 91. I got to get this. Psalm 91. Look here. Verse 1. God's 911 number. If you ever get in spiritual trouble, dial 911. Psalm 91, verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall gather thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Under His wings shall I trust." Ruth says, "I want to be under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to be under the protection of Jehovah God. Boaz, you're kin to us. Would you put me under that protection and put your wings?" You say, that still ain't right. Okay, go back to Ruth. Go back to Ruth. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 12. Look at verse number 11. "And Boaz answered and said unto her," y'all see that? Boaz is doing the talking. Y'all see that? Look at verse 12. He ain't done talking. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Hallelujah. I'm under the protection of the Almighty. He put His skirt, His wings, and put me under that Jehovah's protection. Well, I'm telling you, that's what happened. And let's look at, we got to get to this. It ain't but 15 till. Look at Ruth chapter 3. Let's get back. We read verse 9. "Therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, you are near kinsman." All right, verse 10. "And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor nor rich." Boaz says, "Hey, you showing kindness to me too. I mean, there's a whole lot younger men out here that you could have went after, but you came to me. Hey, can't nobody help you but the Lord. Who else you going to go to? You can go to a bunch of the rest of them. You can go to Buddha. You can go to Allah. And you can go to the rest of them. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, hey, I'm the one that can help you. Verse 11, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest for all the city." Now watch this. You say, how do you know nothing immoral happened while he was, you know, laying there in the flesh, threshing floor and all of that? I know this because what Boaz said about Ruth. Look what he said. In other words, Ruth was saying, Boaz, would you be our kin? You're one of our near kinsmen. Would you redeem us and buy us back and all of that kind of thing? So verse 11, "And thou, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a what?" Now, something ugly had happened under there. Boaz wouldn't have said that about her. So everything's on the up and up. Does everybody see that? Amen. And verse 12, "And now it is true that I am thy kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. She arose up before the so and so forth. Now watch this. Boaz says, I tell you what, before we go any further, I'd be glad to redeem you, but there's one nearer kin than I am, and I'm going to check with him first. I'm going to check with him first. Now, if he don't want to, then I'm next in line, and I'll be glad to do it as the Lord liveth. That was sort of like we saying, I'm telling you that with my hand up. That was Boaz saying, with my hand up, as the Lord liveth. Amen. If this other near kinsman don't want to redeem. Now, to be a redeemer, watch this. Yeah. You had to be a kinsman. Yeah. You had to be willing. Right. And you had to have the means. The moolah. You can't buy nobody back if you ain't got no money in the bank. So, you had to be a kin. All right, Boaz was kin. You had to be willing. Boaz was willing. And number three, you had to have the money. Boaz got the money. I mean, he's leaving handfuls on purpose just on the ground. You farm, y'all know that y'all wouldn't be, just be doing that. You just don't leave stuff unless I, you know, Lord will bless me, you know, that. I'm just going to leave that on there for Ruth and hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. You say, who's this other kinsman? I don't have any idea. But let me just throw a little spiritual application maybe. And let me just say this. Back in the Garden of Eden, the first Adam was a kinsman. He's Papaw Adam. He's kin, but he ain't willing, and he don't have the means. He lost all that. So the next in line, last Adam, says, I'm kin, I'm willing, and I got the means. Hallelujah. I mean, just somebody just throw a songbook up and just bust all the lights out of the chandeliers. I'm ready. Hallelujah. So this is what he said. Now, I gotta hurry. Verse 14, and she laid his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known. And the woman came to the floor, and he said, bring the veil. Watch this. Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. Now, hold the phone. We finna close right here. Chapter 2, she's working. And she brings home how much? 1 ephod of barley. That's 1 bushel. About 3 pint. She goes on to the threshing floor and just rests at the feet of Boaz. She don't do nothing. She don't work. She don't do nothing. And he gets up in the morning and says, oh, by the way, I don't want you going home empty-handed. Hold that, hold you, what do you call it, the veil? It wasn't the veil over faith. It was that, like you women wear in the kitchen, it's like that thing. She just held it up. You know how some my grandmother, both of them, they'd do that. They'd pick oranges, whatever, peas, whatever, and they'd hold that little, they'd pull that apron up like this. They'd put it in that, and it was set in there. Yeah, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, Boaz says, hey, before you leave, let me see that veil. He put 6 measures of barley in there. The Bible says, laid it on. I mean, laid it on. She's like this. You say, how much is 6 barley? 2 ephod. That's double of what she got when she is working. You say, preacher, what's the application of that? Listen, when you start messing around and fiddling around in that Bible and looking around, yeah, you can bring home some barley. But then when you move to a place to where you're setting the feet of Jesus and you have a personal relationship and fellowship with Him, you'll take home more than you brought to the table. The closer you get to Him, the more He'll pile her on. Hallelujah. I'm feeling a little something on that. The closer you get to, you say, preacher, you got any Bible on that one? Yes. Luke chapter number 10, Mary and Martha, cumbered about much serving. You with me? Boy, Martha, man, she's a working. She's working out here. She's working. She's looking around going, where's my sister? She goes in there in the living room. The Bible says Mary is at the feet of Jesus. She's at the feet of Boaz. And Jesus says, now Martha, listen, she's right where she needs to be. You need to be over here. And we'll pile on some on you. Holy Hills Baptist Church, you need to get to the place to where you move from this to sitting under His feet. And He puts His skirt of protection over you. He'll send you home with more than you can tote. I'm telling you. And in the end of chapter 3, she goes home. Verse 16, let me read the last two. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. You know, hey, Naomi, you ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe it. Man, he put them wings of protection over me. We got up next morning, and I threw my apron out there. Son, he piled her on. I'm talking about piled her on. I brought home more than I did when I worked out there in the field. I'm telling you, Naomi, it's worth sitting at the feet of the Lord. It's worth sitting at the feet of our near kinsman Redeemer. In verse 18, then she said, well, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be at rest until he hath finished the thing this day. Naomi said, you know what time to do now? It's time to do sit still. And let God move. Let Boaz do what he's got to do. He's got to find out if that other kinsman is going to do what he does and all that stuff. But he won't. I guarantee you, Ruth, I guarantee you, that man won't rest until he sees this thing through. The Lord Jesus Christ ain't going to rest until he sees this thing through. And we all go to His table. Where the table spread, where the saints of God are fed. I'm going to tell you, sit at His feet. It's worth serving God. Well, I'm telling you, hey, you can't beat that love story right there. You can't beat that. With a crooked stick, you can't beat that. Now, there's one more chapter. And then you got Ruth resting. And then in chapter 4, you got Ruth rewarded. And I'll just go on and tell you, I done read the story. Boaz winds up marrying her. The first guy falls through, which Adam did. Amen. Fell through. He couldn't do what he thought he could do. And the near kinsman said, I'll take it. I'll marry him. I'll marry a Gentile bride. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. That's helping me. And it's just 7 o'clock. Ain't it good being saved? Yes. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight. What You showed us in Your Word and how You loved us, how You cared for us. Lord, how You put us under Your protective wings. The shadow of the Almighty. Lord, a bunch of Gentile folks. Like us, outcast, apart from the commonwealth, the nation of Israel. But Lord, You brought us into the table. You let us eat at your table. Lord, what a blessing. Thank you for loving us like you have. Thank you for giving this story where we can find blessing from it. And I'll thank you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Won't you stand to your feet? Brother Sammy, just play something. We probably won't sing nothing. Maybe you want to come pray about something? You're more than welcome to. Now, a sermon like that, if you're not saved, that'd be a good time, good place to get saved. Find out what the Lord done for you like that. My, that's a blessing. So if you're not saved, that right there, beautiful story, a story of redemption, how the Lord loved us. That's a blessing. He gets done with this verse. You just come if you need to.